Imperialism and what it was that seemed to have brought so many of the Japanese community from Long Beach and in Terminal Island into the Presbyterian Church.
In the Terminal Island area, the nearest church was in Long Beach. And I guess when they moved back, not to Terminal Island, but they moved to Long Beach, and the community there, quite a few Terminal Islanders there. And so they, and they, the Terminal Islanders were Baptists. And when they came to Long Beach, the church was a Presbyterian church. So they became ardent Presbyterians. That's the reason why they came to.
So it was accidental, really.
Accidental. Now, like, in Pasadena, when it became known that I was the director of the Pastor Boys Club, the Reverend Don Toriumi was the pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Altadena. And he came and sat down and faced me and says, "Dave, I know you're a Baptist, but the Pasadena community can use you as a Presbyterian." So he was a very good teacher. I mean, I said, I'd like to know a little bit more about that Presbyterian. And so he gave me all the knickknacks and all the ideas of what makes a Presbyterian. And I liked what I heard. They're not as strict as a Baptist, more liberal. And so that's why I switched over.
I see.
So the so that both my wife and I became. So that's how it came.
Now, when did you, how did you meet your wife?
At the Baptist Church. At Paul and Agama's church.
When you came back?
Yes, I went to Evergreen Baptist Church, and the men's group had charge of the breakfast for the Easter morning. And we were cooking, and there were people were coming in, and I saw this young lady, Helen, and they told me that she was a nurse. She graduated from becoming a nurse and had moved to Los Angeles. And so I struck up this date with her, and I liked what I saw and felt. So that's how.
And when did you get married? I won't tell her that you don't remember.
We had our 50th wedding anniversary. Was it last year?
So about 1950.
Yeah, about there.
And where had she been raised? Where had she been raised?
She was raised in El Monte. Father was a ranch farmer. And she had older brother and mother. So they lived here quite some time, and then they moved to Oxnard to do some farming. And then I guess everything went out.
They didn't mind that you were a Terminal Islander.
No, they didn't mind at all.
I'd like to ask you some questions, thinking back about what do you think made Terminal Island so special? All the Terminal Islands have such a strong sense of being Terminal Islanders and being a community. I mean, even, you know, after camp and after people came back, I think much more so than, say, the prefectural groups or the other groups. What do you think made it so special?
One thing is that we were so closely living together, barracks by barracks. You know, ordinary it would be spread apart. But here we are in an island, about 3,000 jammed in together. And yet, we were able to get along because of the feeling of one toward another, not all to myself. We were always thinking of helping others. If they needed help, we were right there. And it, this community type of a thing was very prevalent. And even though among our socializing and so forth, there was no competition as a hatred or anything of that sort. And then the idea that our growing up was so pleasant that we had the harbor, the places to go and play, and I was comparing ours with the farmers up in Palos Verdes, where after they finished school, they would be working out in the fields. And here we are, not a care in the world, playing, skating, bicycling, fishing, sailing. That kind of memory sticks with you. And you make lifelong friends through this close association. Because when you say you were turned on, there's a bond. And we all felt that way. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why I think more and more that even though we're gone out of that island, the idea that we had the happiest moment of our lives in that small island with all the people stuck together and yet no tragedy to think of, and working and playing together, I think has a lot to do with this thing too.
And what do you think, why was it different, say, than, well, among the farmers, they lived very separate, like in the Imperial Valley.
Yes.
But how about from the people who lived in Los Angeles? Because they were mixed in with whites, do you think? That they didn't have the kind of tight community?
That's right enough. Since I didn't live in Los Angeles, it's pretty hard for me to understand what happened in this situation where they were more independent.
Oh.
See, each one, they weren't put in together like we have.
Well, maybe because they were all fishermen too.
That's true. In one occupation.
Yeah.
Whereas in Los Angeles, different occupation, isn't it? And independent thinking.
Uh-huh.
So that could be part of it.
What did your father do after they came out of camp, since he'd lost his boat?
He came back and tried to redo going fishing again. And for a short while, he lost his boat, so he had to get another boat. It was an old tuna fishing boat that was for sale. So he said he's going to try one more time to fish. And so he bought this fish, bought this boat, had a lot of repair to be done, and finally got ready to get going. But to find fishermen, they're all gone. So he went to Mexico to Ensenada. And there were several Japanese fishermen who married Mexican people. And so he recruited these people to fish on his boat. So he had to make an arrangement to bring them to the harbor. But before he do that, he had a skeleton crew that would ride over to Ensenada and pick up all the fishermen from there. And they would go out to Mexico and fish. And coming home, they would come directly to the harbor. Mm. And the fishermen would live in the boat, and that's how he got started.
Where did they dock? Did they dock back in Terminal Island?
We started, Dad started out that way, but what happened? The thing that my uncle was the fish captain for that boat. And one time at the middle of the sea, the engine broke down. And usually this pattern is they would try to sink that boat to get the insurance on it. But my uncle just didn't have the guts to do that. So the tug had to bring it in and to have it repaired. But it was so bad that Dad said, we can't, I'm going to call it quits. So that's what happened.
How long did he fish then after the war?
Not too, just about a year, I guess.
And did your brother fish with him?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, only thing that I'd like to add is it's amazing that all the years that I've gone back to relive some of the things that I've related to you. And I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, great. Well, and you'll have the tape for your children and grandchildren.
Good.
And your grandchildren and children could, once we get it ready, it'll take a while, could go on to their computers.
Uh-huh.
And I'll have Young In take a picture of you, and we'll have your picture there speaking.
Oh.
But there was something I that came to mind that I wanted to, one last thing that came to my mind. Now I've lost it. What does the monument mean to you?
Which monument?
That they're going to build on Terminal Island.
Well, what I've heard from others, they all have this nostalgic feeling of Terminal Island, and they hate to see that thing disappear. And so the idea was that if each of the Terminal Islanders could contribute some money to build this thing, it would be a lasting memorial to the people in Terminal Island who once enjoyed living in this isolated place. That's why.
So everyone, so the Terminal Island is who put up the money for it.
Yes. Everybody. Okay. Let me show you. Should I take this off a minute?